This is Dr. Chip, and that's Data Prince Alice. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you an in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you.
This week, we're talking state of the position, starts of the week, and hot trades. All right, let's get to it.
We'll start with the state of the position. You know, we're looking at each of our big four positions and how they're looking, the overall feel. We're going to run through, the top 12 so you can kind of see where things are at. And we'll talk a little bit about whether we think things are going to stay the same. We're going to kick things off here with quarterbacks. And I'll be honest, the state of the position, the overall feel of the position is that all good things go away with time or something like that. I think they said there's 11 backup quarterbacks starting. In our top 12, we have Kirk Cousins that's out for the season. We already lost Aaron Rodgers. We've got Josh Dobbs on his second team this season, but Arizona's gonna be on a backup. Matthew Stafford might be down. Justin Fields is banged up, and we've been dealing with Tyson Bagent, who's had some positivity. Derek Carr's been in and out. Desmond Ridder might not be starting next week. Anthony Richardson we lost, and we're starting Gardner Minshew. Daniel Jones has been out. Kenny Pickett might be banged up. Jimmy Garoppolo has been a little banged up. So is Zach Wilson's freaking starting games? Deshaun Watson's out. Tannehill's out. Tyrod Taylor got injured. So the Giants are on their third quarterback. Yeah.
Who's that?
Don't make me do that. I don't know.
Pick him up.
Let's see. Oh yeah. I freaking love his name, Tommy DeVito.
Hey, perfect New Yorker.
Yeah. Tommy DeVito.
DeVito.
Right off the streets. Oh my gosh. I've never done a New York accent before. Hopefully that was pretty good. So that's the overall feel of the position, I think, is that you're going to need multiple guys, especially here in Dynasty, multiple guys to kind of sustain yourself through the playoffs.
You forgot about Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. So I guess that's the interesting nugget, or the biggest nugget I'd take away from this QB conversation is you need backups, right? For bye weeks, yes, but also in case of injury. Because you really can't trust your guys. So what is the comfortable number of quarterbacks, would you say, Chib, for Dynasty to go into a season with and to have at this point in the season?
Two to go into the season because of bye weeks. But then as you're going towards the playoffs and things like that, and people getting injured, three, at least three.
Yeah.
I have four quarterbacks, and half of them are injured.
Yeah, of course. I asked the guy that I was actually expecting you to have a higher answer for going into the season, because you went into the season with three, and all three of them got injured. So,
I have five quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you need to have all quarterbacks in your roster. Everything, just quarterbacks. Everything, quarterbacks.
Exactly. Exactly. Nothing but quarterbacks. The real answer, though, does kind of depend on your league size. If there's starting quarterbacks on your waivers, if in any given week there's like around 10 or somewhere north of like two, if there's always quarterbacks that are starters on the waivers, I'm not too concerned, and you should have two quarterbacks probably on your roster in Dynasty. But if that's not the case, and like most Dynasty, it's not the not the case. Yeah, you really should probably be riding with about three just for safety. I did go into the season with three, or sorry, I did go into the season with two, but they had the same bye week, so I had to pick up a third. So I tend to like to try to ride a little risky with two quarterbacks, and that's generally okay. But this year, geez, you need the third. So, they say they're making the game safer, but somehow the quarterbacks are getting more and more injured. It feels like might not be true, but it feels
soft like Charmin.
Yeah,
I'm joking. I just wanted to say, I just wanted to be like an Ohe.
Exactly.
I used to eat nails for breakfast. These boys eat toilet paper. It's soft. Right. You are what you eat.
Aren't they all?
All that science doing nothing.
All right. I'm going to run through the top. Josh Allen, number one. Whoop, whoop. Jalen Hurts. And this, by the way, is our league, which has somewhat funky quarterback rankings. But I like to think of it as it's closer to real life, where negative plays get you negative points, positive plays get you positive points. So incompletions affect you just as much as a little bit more than incompletions affect you a little bit more than completions, actually, in our league. So it's kind of an interesting way. So Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts at number two, Tua Tagovailoa. Number three, kind of one of those guys that Chip and I were fire and ice on. I was probably the ice, he was the fire, and he was right. So good for him. I will preface that by saying my ice was always based upon health. So never had doubts about Tua's talent, but health was the concern, and he's so far so good. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. You trusted his talent, not his health. That's what it was.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and maybe I didn't say, maybe it would have been smart to boost him up and say, okay, his talent is here, so that's what we have to treat him as. And, if injury comes, and because you can't really plan on injury, and you really shouldn't. So moving on down the list, Patrick Mahomes, number four. He's currently Kermit the Frog in Sleeper, so that's great. That looks very funny, his picture. They changed a lot of pictures for Halloween, which is kind of fun. Kirk Cousins, who just went on IR, he's number five, so he'll move down for sure. Justin Herbert, number six. Lamar Jackson, number seven. Jared Goff, number eight. Brock Purdy, number nine. Russell Wilson, number 10, Sam Howell, number 11, and Jordan Love, number 12. So pretty wild group here. I would say in our top 12, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 surprises, maybe. Mm-hmm. Depending on how you felt about Tua, it was either 5 or 6. But I mean, that whole back half, really, like, Jared Goff, maybe not too much of a surprise, but Brock Purdy, Russell Wilson, Sam Howell, and Jordan Love, all pretty surprising. Joe Burrow is the big name out of the top 12. He's all the way down at number 20.
Well, blame it on his injury.
Yeah, he had some injuries at the beginning. Justin Herbert's kind of living up to the hype coming into the season, but he also hasn't reached the heights of like the top three. So that's kind of where the top 12 is. Who do we think falls out of the top 12? I'm going to review them just for a second.
Barring injury, correct?
Yeah. Barring injury. Exactly. So again, we've got Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins. So he's going to be the obvious one. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Russell Wilson, Sam Howell, and Jordan Love. So who in your mind, outside of Kirk Cousins, who's going to be the obvious one, who falls out?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
That's a fair assessment. My two, and I'm kind of taking an easy one here with Jordan Love at number 12, But Jordan Oh, yeah, that's Love and too. Russell Wilson, I think, fall out.
Wait, Russell Wilson in the top 12?
Russell Wilson is number 10.
Oh my God, this is a horrible year.
So I would say by the end of the year, Trevor Lawrence, who's at number 13, jumps in.
Yep.
And Dak Prescott is at 15, and then Joe Burrow's at 20. I think Joe Burrow gets close, but I don't know that he let's see his schedule here. Yeah, his schedule's tough. He's got Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. That's his next four. And then he ends with Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Cleveland. So he's got three good matchups the rest of his time. He's definitely a quarterback that can transcend a bad matchup. So I think he climbs, and I think he gets to about 13. And I think Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott jump into the top 12.
That's good. I like that.
All right. What do we think about running backs? What is our overall feel of the position right now?
I feel like last year, running backs were all getting injured left and right. This year's quarterbacks, it's the turn.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also feel like we've had a lot of really weird top 12 guys. Like, we've had a lot of running backs that have just like run away with things. And
yes.
And that was kind of a surprise. We have had some big injuries. We had a lot of injuries that, you know, a lot of guys coming back from injury too at the running back position. So that's been interesting to see as well. But yeah, it's been, again, kind of in flux, but also there's been some mainstays here. You know, just to run us through the top 12, Christian McCaffrey. So he's been kind of a mainstay for a long time. You know, he missed kind of 2 years there. And then last year he came on. He was the second best running back in the game and behind Austin Eckler. And then, you know, this year he's held the first spot by about 30 points. So he doesn't have a close runner up. Number two, though, is Travis Etienne. He has been excellent all year. Raheem Mostert has seemed to start to slow down a little bit. He's had three games that you were kind of not really happy with, but he's
all those three games absent of A-Chain or with A-Chain?
Two of them were absent A-Chain. One of them was against Buffalo when A-Chain went off.
Okay, so I wonder if there's a connection there.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe he's depressed.
He wants his running bounty. Number four is still Zach Moss. And I have a feeling he's going to stay at number four for he's probably got one more week, to be honest. He's got 133 points. And the fifth person, Kenneth Walker, has 119. So, I mean, if he gets 20 points, all of a sudden he's the fourth guy.
That's true.
But that's the thing, though, with Zach Moss. Last week he got 17 points. He's healthy. He's still going strong. I don't know. Zach Moss might be around for the long term, at least in terms of this year, which is kind of surprising with Jonathan Taylor coming back. But, you know, as a former Buffalo guy, I got to say, doesn't look too good for the Buffalo running schemers, you know. I don't know. We're doing something wrong in Buffalo when it comes to running backs because Zach Moss looks excellent.
Sometimes you just need a change of scenery.
Sometimes. Yeah, maybe that's all it is. But, you know, none of the running backs that we brought in for a quote-unquote change of scenery do better here than elsewhere. So
that's true.
So five, Kenneth Walker. Six, DeAndre Swift. Again, another kind of surprise. Kyren Williams, number seven, another surprise. Eight, Derrick Henry. No surprise there. Just maybe a little lower than we want.
I was praying he got traded too.
Yeah. Isaiah Pacheco, number nine. Josh Jacobs, number 10. Devon Achane, still at number 11 here. He is on IR. We should see him in about, I think, three more weeks, minimum. And then, two more weeks minimum. And then he's back. 3 weeks back. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's going to be back? I thought he was gone for the season.
No. He's just on, he's expected back in week 11.
Oh.
Yep. So that'll be fun. And then Brian Robinson rounds out our 12. So running through our same exercise here, who falls out and who comes in? So the obvious one to fall out is going to be Kyren Williams, who is also on IR. But again, he could return in week 12, but that's quite some time for him. That's a little bit longer. And they also aren't confident on when he's going to come back. Achane, they're a little bit more confident with.
Yep.
So my thoughts are Kyren Williams falls out. He's the easy one. DeAndre Swift doesn't seem to be slowing down. Zach Moss, again, doesn't really seem to be.
He's not slowing down.
Slowing down. Mostert is a little banged up. But I think the actual answers here are Brian Robinson at 12. Devon Achane,
yeah.
I think, will struggle to get back, even though he's going to be coming back in just a few weeks. He's going to fall out and then struggle to come back in. And then Kyren Williams. I do think Zach Moss falls a little bit, but just hasn't happened yet. Guys outside of the top 12 that could jump in, Breece Hall, Alvin Kamara, Bijan Robinson, James Cook. Those are your top four guys outside of the top 12. You also have Gus Edwards and Tony Pollard there on the outside looking in. Who's out of those guys? Who are your top two to come in?
Bijan.
Yeah. Definitely a guy that I think there's growth potential as a rookie. And then I think Breece Hall does come on as the year goes on. He's got some good matchups coming up. A good string of three matchups. Alvin Kamara is honestly a good bet as well. And I wouldn't put my money on James Cook, to be honest. I think he floats kind of in that realm. He hasn't scored more than 20 points in a week, which is saying something at the running back position. That's kind of what you want out of your running back, out of a top 12 running back for sure. So it's kind of wild that he is sitting like midway in the RB2 category. So yeah, I think that's kind of where we're thinking. Any other thoughts that you have on these running backs?
No, it's been, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, let me look at the running backs and see like who's doing well, who's not, and who could, you know, where could we benefit from. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty consistent, and none of it really is a big surprise to me, honestly. I mean, the biggest surprise is probably how Derrick Henry is doing so good and his team is so trash. Another one is Saquon Diss. I don't know what his points totals are right now, and if he can make it back in for the rest of the year. But that could be an interesting one too. Breece Hall, he wasn't mentioned on the list either, right?
Yeah, he's number 13. Yeah, I mentioned Breece Hall. Breece Hall, I do like.
Sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah, so I think I can definitely see him jumping into the top 12 for sure. The way they're using him. And Dalvin Cook. Did you say Dalvin Cook? You said
no.
You said James Cook twice.
James Cook. Why. Yeah.
Okay, Dalvin Cook is also interesting. He has not played well this year by any means. Yeah, he has not played well this year, but he has we know what he can do, right? And I think that'd be interesting to see if they find some kind of harmony between him and whatchamacallit?
Breece Hall.
Him and Breece Hall, yeah. So that'd be interesting. But for me, for sure, I think Bijan is gonna jump into that top 12, especially with a new. And the thing is, Ritter, is Ritter injured or are they just benching him?
Unclear.
They're benching
It's somewhere between he was healthy enough to be cleared by the NFL, but not healthy enough to be put back on the field with how he was playing. So, fun fact, I did find Dalvin Cook in the list. Guess what number he is in terms of points?
28.
You think he's the 28th best running back in the league right now?
I think so. It might be.
He's 69th.
Oh my God. Yeah, he's horrible.
He's been awful. He has 21 points all year.
Wow.
So he is a total non-factor in the fantasy football world right now. His best game was week one.
His performance is completely justified why the Vikings wouldn't pay him.
Yeah, well, and to that point, I mean, he's only gotten north of 10 carries in week one. So he hasn't been asked to do more.
Oh, okay. That's also an issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, those are my thoughts. I agree with you with Brian Robinson in my jump down. I think Bijan will jump in for sure. And I think Breece will jump in as well.
Yeah, and Saquon is sitting at 23, Jahmyr Gibbs 22. Those guys have some power to move up in the standings. Joe Mixon is at 21. I've been a Joe Mixon guy for a long time, and he just never lived up to the hype to me. He always
No.
disappointed me. And maybe that's because I always had him on my team next to Christian McCaffrey, so it was like night and day. So it wasn't really a fair comparison. But I'm looking at his schedule coming up. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 great matchups coming up. And then the first hiccup is against Minnesota, which I don't really think is a hiccup. And then he's got Pittsburgh, which again is a good matchup. So he's got about 8 really good matchups coming up. I mean, that to me is a phenomenal grab in fantasy at this point. Is if Joe Mixon is injured or healthy, he's injured right now. He's got a chest injury, but he could be interesting. He hasn't been bad this year. Again, running back 22, running back 21. Sorry. So that'll be interesting. Another name I want to bring up who's had some injuries, Austin Eckler at running back 29. He's worth keeping an eye on. He'll be a riser for sure. So just some guys there. Jonathan Taylor, another name. He's still down at 42, so he's still rising up slowly. So let's kick off our wide receivers here. We've got first up, how do we feel about this position? Is it out with the old, in with the new, or something else?
I feel it's a bow, yeah, yes and no. Let me say that. How about the old in terms of some of the players who are like good and old are getting injured? And it's like naturally you just gotta bring in some new players. But that's my yes portion. My no portion is I feel like the old and the new are learning and off of each other. The old are learning the passion for the game again, the new are learning the tips and tricks to be excellent. I'm mainly seeing this strictly from the aspect of the Seahawks, everybody. So it's like, Tyler Lockett, we consider him old, most likely. And look at him playing with such passion and drive. And we watch how Jaxon Smith-Njigba is learning from him and getting better week in and week out. Right. And so that's one aspect of it to me. If you look at Quentin Johnston, he has not lived up to the hype and his draft pick status. But his last game was actually not too bad because it's about how sometimes with the rookie, you have to just give him the ball and let them be athletic. Let them go have fun. Let them go make plays, right? Don't worry about being perfect all the time. So I'm wondering if that's going to be happening with some of the newer players as well. And if that's going to help kind of spark them, ignite them, and let the old players then refine that passion, that energy. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. Now, in terms of responsibility, in terms of, okay, who's going to carry the weight of the team, right? It looks like the new guys are going to be the ones. Like, this is theirs. We look at Justin Jefferson and how he's out right now, and Addison has been picking up the slack and doing such a great job, right? You look at, what you call it, Nico. Though Nico's like, what was it, second or third year?
Yeah, he's in his third year.
Yeah, great. So he's been carrying the weight when it comes to the success of the Houston's in terms of like the receiving core. CeeDee Lamb is only in his third year, and like now it's his time to shine as well. And so he's carrying the weight for the Dallas Cowboys. What other teams am I thinking about? Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know what year he is. I think he's also in the third year too, right? But he's been
He's third
amazing.
year.
And Jamison Williams, he's getting more comfortable in this offense as well, right? And he's doing a fantastic. Oh, we didn't even talk about Jahmyr Gibbs potentially jumping into the top 12. I don't know how far away he is, but that'd be an
Yeah.
interesting one as well.
I mentioned him just very briefly. He's number 22.
Yeah, I can see with the way the Lions are playing, I can see him definitely hopping in because he's looking better and better every week. So yeah, so for me, I guess I just talked myself into it. It's not out with the old in terms of being disrespectful, like, oh, you old, you gotta go. But it's out with the old in terms of let the young ones carry some of this weight and you all just provide that, invaluable guidance so that he can be so that they can be successful. What do you think?
I am going to say that it's for the most part, the veterans are still here. The veteran wide receivers are not dead yet for fantasy purposes. You look at the top four guys. Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, all of those guys are on AJ Brown. Well, yeah, no, AJ Brown's on a new deal since he switched teams. He's in his fifth year, but all four of those guys are on their second contracts, right? So you look at even number five, DJ Moore is, in his sixth year, Ja'Marr Chase is our first guy on a rookie contract at number six. But from then on, it's Puka Nacua, Jordan Addison, Amon-Ra, CeeDee Lamb, and frickin' Rashid Shaheed is right now number 12, which is outrageous. There's only one name that I skipped over, and that's Adam Thielen. So he's another experienced guy there in the top 10. He's at number eight. So that's pretty wild. It's either you're young. That's not fair. That's not really true. It's basically the old guard is still around. I think is the name of the game. I mean, we just saw a really, really good game from DeAndre Hopkins last week, right? He's still around. We have seen some disappointment there in Las Vegas with
Son.
That was a euphemism or something. I don't know. I was downplaying it. Okay, Adams is just outside of the top 12. I thought he was still doing okay. He's had some good weeks. He's just struggled a little bit. Yeah, he's at 16 in our league, but last week was disappointing with less than 2 points. But
Ooh.
yeah. It was a rough game. He's only had one game over 20 points. So he hasn't been a showstopper, but he has been doing stuff. Interesting landscape. Also, Mike Evans is in the mix. Again, I said Devonta Adams. And then you kind of keep scrolling until 25 for DeAndre Hopkins to really find an old guy. But there's the old guard is still sticking around, and I think this is the last hurrah for a lot of them. You know, Keenan Allen kind of looks like that to me, but he's still here. Adam Thielen, you know, some of those guys. So that's kind of how we feel. We ran through the top 12. Who falls out? Who's coming up?
Who was 12 again?
Number 12 was Rashid Shaheed.
I wonder if Rashi Rice is going to come up.
Maybe. He is 43 right now.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big way to go. Okay, Dr. Chibb had to dip out for just a little bit, but we are going to keep rolling here with our wide receivers, who falls out, who jumps in. I think where Dr. Chibb was going was Rashid Shaheed is probably going to be dropping out there. I believe the same, but it's hard to argue with such good performances out of him. But he's very boom bust here. So keep that in mind. 3 games over 19 points. All of the other games are less than 12. And only one of those is over 10. So really, really for the most part, you're going to be disappointed week in, week out. But geez, he's got a couple good matchups here before the bye. You know, I might throw him in my lineup if I had him. And I don't. I don't have him anywhere. He was a good guess, you know, this year coming in, you know, and actually I'm seeing him on the waivers in one of my leagues. And yeah, I'm playing with the idea of grabbing him, but I don't know that I'm going to actually do it. I feel pretty good about my week this week, and it's actually more of a redraft league. It's actually a vampire league. So it's kind of and I'm a vampire, so kind of an interesting game to play. So looking at the guys that might jump in instead of Rashid Shaheed, and I'm looking at the list of people that are in that are going to fall out. So Rashid Shaheed, and I think Puka Nacua does run into some difficulty here. I think Jordan Addison runs into some difficulty just with their quarterback situations and some banged up QBs. Mike Evans is at 13, Pittman 14, Nico Collins 15, Devontae Adams 16. Justin Jefferson's dropped to 17 now. I don't really see any names in here other than once I get to 20, Devonta Smith that could jump in. I do think Mike Evans has the staying power. Michael Pittman, maybe. Nico Collins, though, is a name that I would say at 15, he's primed and ready to jump in there. And things need to change for Devonta Adams for him to really show up. But Brandon Ayuk is also in that mix. George Pickens is at 23 if things turn around a little bit there for him. Honestly, they're looking worse. Anything. Jalen Waddle all the way down at 28, Chris Olave at 29. Those are the guys that I think have some growth potential. DeAndre Hopkins at 25. You know, you've got some guys down here that could really jump back up that have been disappointing this far. I don't think Garrett Wilson gets enough to really boost himself into the top 12 at this point. But that's kind of where we're thinking right now at wide receiver position. That's what we're going to roll with. Josh Downs has been pretty interesting this year, and he's kind of proved a lot of people wrong that didn't think that he could do it at the next level. But he's really come on the last 4 weeks, and all of the last 4 weeks have been over 10 points for fantasy and half PPR. So we're going to scooch on over to the tight end position, talk about them there and what we're thinking in terms of our overall position. It's actually been kind of nice at the tight end position this year. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, and TJ Hockenson make up our top four. And they're within 20 points of each other, which is kind of nice. We do have Dr. Chip back to to talk about tight ends with us.
So tight ends don't suck this year. They're finally something good is happening with them. Who's our top? Are we doing top 12 with them as well, or top like six?
Yeah, we were doing top 12. I ran through quick our top four that are all within 20 points of each other that I kind of like: Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, and T.J. Hockenson. All of those guys I'd be happy with.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've watched all of them play. Actually, they've been balling this year, which is really nice to see. I know, like, though he's a rookie, I know he's number seven, right? Kincaid.
Kincaid in our league. So he was projected for seventh. He was the seventh best projection for this week, but he's 18 on the year.
Oh yeah, he's going to top 12.
Yeah.
I know we're not there yet, but I was like, I gotta say it before you say it. He's your guy. He's your guy, but he's my guy.
Yeah, we're kind of in love with him. He's been growing on us. He's definitely, I mean, he was well hyped going into the season. I think we tried to calm down that hype. Well, I should say I tried to calm down that hype a little bit with him being a rookie.
Not me.
Yeah.
For the listeners, like, I have enough passion for the both of us.
Yeah, I tend to be a wet blanket sometimes, which is funny because I think both of us have our own passions and our own we get hyped about different things, which is fun sometimes. I've got a little bit of a quiz for you here, just to kind of show where the position is at. Okay, let's do it this way. If TJ Hockenson was a wide receiver, where would he rank amongst wide receivers in fantasy?
89. Yeah.
Okay, so he has 89 points right now. 89.3. And that would be exactly 23rd.
23rd?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that, I think, does speak to how good some of these tight ends have been.
Some of these receivers have been.
That is true too. The wide receivers have been trashed. There's been really horrible. You know, we're halfway through the year right now. Let's look at number 12 here. He's got 105 points. That puts him at 210 points on the year, right? We're perfectly halfway. It's easy math. Yeah, I suppose that's comparable. You know, 200 was probably right around wide receiver 12. So I don't know. Maybe wide receivers are always trash and we're just finding it out now.
Maybe that question you asked before about is it out with the old, in with the new, or the old here to stay? Maybe the question really is leaning towards it is out with the old, in with the new, because the new still have a learning curve.
Yeah.
Right? And there might not be enough, I guess, old heads to carry the torch. The ones you named are like the elite of the old, right? Versus the ones who could kind of keep things going and keep things fresh until that time comes when they get replaced, right?
Yeah. I do think while we're talking a little bit about the wide receivers and before we fully turn over and only talk about the tight ends, we need to talk about the fact that our North Star fell. At least one of them, right? We talked about Justin Jefferson being the primary North Star, but we also talked about Ja'Marr Chase being there. But really, we looked at Justin Jefferson as the guy, top, you know, all fantasy trades should be based upon relationship to that North Star. You know, and that Justin Jefferson was the guy to own in fantasy football, and there was nobody with higher, more value than Justin Jefferson. And I think that's changed. with his injury, right? We talked about this too, is in order to be the North Star, you got to have health, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we see cracks. And with Ja'Marr Chase, we saw some cracks earlier in the year with Joe Burrow not being healthy, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is still there. I think we're good with Ja'Marr Chase. He's kind of evened out and we really like him still. I think by the end of the year, we'll see. He might have gained enough. He might have gotten old enough where, you know, maybe we're not talking about his longevity in the league anymore. But I think Ja'Marr Chase is right now our North Star and our sole North Star. What do you think?
Are you sure it would be A.J. Brown at this point?
So I think A.J. Brown.
Or Tyreek Hill?
Well, Tyreek Hill's got the age issue, right?
Oh, no. Okay. You're not just talking about this year in general. You're talking about
Dynasty.
In totality Dynasty. Of everything. Dynasty. Okay.
Yeah. I think A.J. Brown has to be in the discussion, but I think he falls short in that he's going to be 27 years old next year. So he's currently 26. You know, he's in his prime right now. He's doing awesome. He's number two. But I think that's the main issue with AJ Brown, is that he's kind of already moving into that older mix. And same thing with DJ Moore. So it really falls to Ja'Marr Chase. But I mean, he's also only number seven on the year. So we'll see. We'll see. He's got a good stretch of games in the home stretch. So I just wanted to put that bug in everybody's ear and in your ear, Dr. Chibb, see if you agreed.
But for me, isn't A.J. Brown hyper-viable strictly for the fact that he's on the Eagles? Wouldn't that add to his value that they have such elite coaching, such an elite GM, that they'll do whatever it takes to maximize his potential in all areas?
I mean, I think that's hard to quantify. And I also think it's hard to say when that changes or doesn't change, because, you know, so much of that depends on the underlying coaches. It's not just the, you know, the head coach or the, you know, he's got a new OC this year, even. Like, so, and maybe this OC also gets a new job next year, right?
That's true.
So, I don't know the Raiders that you might can call. Rely on that. Yeah, the Raiders might need a new one. All right, let's finish this segment out with the tight ends. So we're really happy about our top four of the tight ends. There is a cliff after four. That's number five here, George Kittle. It's about a 10-point gap there. George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, another 10-point gap. And then you've got some close guys that are close to each other. Dallas Goedert, Cole Kmet, Taysom Hill, Evan Ingram, Darren Waller, Logan Thomas, and Kyle Pitts at number 12. So, and it is cool to see Kyle Pitts finally make it into the top 12 here. And it has not been impressive at all. He's had two games over 10 points, and that's been 12 and 12. So,
wow. How about, okay. Yeah.
You had a question?
Well, I was going to start saying, okay, who do we think is going to hop in into the top 12?
Yep.
At this point,
I think you're right with Dalton Kincaid. I don't know how he doesn't. Just with the people in front of him, it doesn't look like any of them are going to. All right. It looks like we've got issues with Taysom Hill possibly being a little banged up. Darren Waller is banged up. Logan Thomas is also a little banged up. And I, not that health means everything, but I think those three are also disappointing enough that they're going to fall out. I do think Evan Ingram improves on the year. But he does have a lot of tough matchups, so that might be a struggle. But I think I would trust the quarterback situation there. Kyle Pitts, I trust the talent a little bit, but it's tough with Jonnu Smith is right at 14, so they're kind of sharing the workload there. I also like David Njoku at number 15 to jump in.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's Njoku doing? But I was also going to wonder, is he, like, he had a great outing last week, right? Against the Seahawks. Seahawks have a great defense. Historically bad pass defense, but, you know, they caught us lacking. Let me say that. The Browns did early. But we adjusted. But for Njoku, I was thinking to myself, is that a fluke of a game or is that consistent? Did the fire that he went through, did that awaken something inside of him, right? That's going to make him more consistent and more demanding of the ball, right? Is the offensive coordinator or Kostefanski, are they using him in a different way that makes more sense now, that actually utilizes his athleticism better? Like, I'm asking these questions to know, like, is this the true David Njoku or is this just a fluke, right? And if it's a true one, then yes, 100%, I believe he will get into the top 12. He might crack the top six if it's a true one. Yeah. But if it's just a phase, then I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I do think you're right. It's important to note that if you're not in the top four, really, or I should say top six of tight ends, you're really kind of just in the normal mix with everybody else. So I do want to name a couple names that aren't necessarily going to get into the top 12, but they're risers. And that's number
we'll
one
see if
on
you're
that
thinking
list.
About the same people I'm thinking about.
Trey McBride with Arizona. So Zach Ertz just went down with an injury. And Trey McBride's been doing well all year, even with Ertz there. And it'll be interesting to see how much better he does. He just cracked 20 points against Baltimore. He takes on Cleveland next year or next week, and that's a bad matchup, but he's got three good weeks after that. So he's a riser. And then Cade Otton as well is a riser for me. Two back-to-back weeks with over 6 points. Not anything to write home about yet. He hasn't cracked 10 points, but I think Tampa Bay is using him enough where it's worth keeping an eye on him.
Okay. Anyone else you got?
Nope. Let's hear. Did you have a different name?
I had a couple, yeah. I was thinking about Ogletree on Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
I feel like they're using him a little bit more, and I'm like, okay, I'm liking how they're using him. Another one, he's 6'8". He's on the Chargers, Parham.
Yep, that's a good name.
He's interesting.
Let's move on to our starts of the week. Keep things rolling. So, first, starting with our week 8 guys, reading off Dr. Chibb's amazing picks.
Yep.
Quarterback Geno Smith, he was only okay.
Yep.
Running back Amari D. Mikado, versus Baltimore, he was good. Calvin Ridley versus Pitt, he was good at wide receiver. And then at tight end, Dalton Schultz, the one black guy here, he was bad. Defense, Ravens was okay. And then really the saving grace was Brandon Aubrey at kicker, yet again with a great performance for Dr. Chibb.
Does it mean I can't no longer pick him? Are we done with him?
I do think it should be that. He just somehow is not in the top 12 yet.
Oh.
I think. Let me fact check me. I'll fact check myself. Kickers. I screwed the pooch on that one. He's number 5. So maybe we retire him for a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's done. Well,
no. Now, that being said, I suppose you can probably start him until you actually start him in real life, or I should say fake life, in your fantasy football team, because
you know
you have him on the bench.
Thing? I did not mean to have him on the bench. Like, I was like, no, he's not on the bench. I'm like, now I saw him and I was like, what's this?
You want to know how I know he was on your bench? So
Oh.
in our week 8 report on Sleeper that says like the bench warmers of the week, he was the kicker bench warmer of the week. Yeah, with 13 points, bud. There you go. Good job. All right. Looking at my week, I chose Jordan Love, and yet again was disappointed he was not great. Jeff Wilson, I tried to call when Jeff Wilson was going to be awesome and burst onto the scene. He kind of did show up, but he still was not great. Joshua Palmer, unfortunately, ended his good streak and he was bad. Hunter Henry for versus Miami, he was not great. I need to stop picking that guy. He just always seems to have good matchups. Continuously disappointing. Houston defense versus Carolina, they were good. And then Young Hoku was great. So again, I actually didn't have a good selection outside of defense and kicker.
And you paid first, right?
I did pick first. That's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing.
Sure. I just want to
So
make that clear because I was like, I'm pretty sure for most of your friends, like, ugh, I don't know about
well, so Dr. Chibb got +2. So he's got 4.5 wins, and I've got 3.5. The half is the tie. All right. Moving on to week 9, guys. Talking about Dr. Chibb's guys first here. Josh Dobbs versus Atlanta. Only if he actually plays. That is correct. That is Minnesota's game. He hasn't quite switched over in the app yet as far as which team he's on. He's no longer on Arizona, guys. He is now on Minnesota. But Josh Dobbs is theoretically not playing in this game. So Dr. Chibb chose a backup, which is Gardner Minshew. And that's on Indianapolis. I did not write down who they're playing, but I'm sure it's a horrible matchup.
the Panthers.
Oh, it is the Panthers. It actually is a bad matchup, according to Sleeper, for the record. But we'll see.
I don't listen to those matchups because you listen to those matchups and they always let you down.
That's a fact. Yeah, I need to stop listening to those because they're not weighted. That's the thing. So if you play a bunch of good running backs, then you're gonna be a good matchup, and that's just not the case usually. So running back, you've got Zach Charbonnet. I tried to call it 2 weeks ago with Zach Charbonnet. Still hasn't really happened, but he did do better this past week. This is probably the time to play him if you want to be the first on the scene. Wide receiver Jahan Dotson coming off a good week versus New England. Jonnu Smith versus Minnesota. Defense, Las Vegas versus New York Giants. Chibb's always picking on the Giants. Shout out to John, the Giants
If I can pick
fan.
any team against the Giants, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Sorry, John. Hey, last week I beat her. Did you?
I heard
Look.
from him. I heard from him last week. I did. He was so embarrassed. Wait, let me see if I can make this public. Hold on. Where is this? All right. Yeah. Yeah. He goes, bruh, I lost a chip this week. My team had 130 point projection and I ended up with 75. What the heck? LOL.
I tell you, I was like, "All right, I'm not gonna win this game. It's okay. The new guy's gonna beat me." Kind of embarrassing, but it's whatever. Let me make a couple of these changes real quick. Did that, and I was like, oh, "That should work." When I
Killed
tell
it.
you, I was like, "Hey."
And you know what? What was the most impressive is that was without Brandon Aubrey in your lineup.
It was without Brandon Aubrey, Josh Dobbs, and without Dalton Kincaid. All three of them would have put me way over.
Whoa, wow. That's wild. Now,
Yeah.
what's really funny about this matchup? Okay, so this week, second best team in the on the week lost to the first best, aka the best. So by like 2 points. Okay. So imagine scoring the second most points in a week and losing to the person with the most points. And then knowing that the second worst team on the week won against the worst team on the week. Dr. Chibb, you scored 77 points. John scored 75. The next lowest person in scoring was 93 points. You guys had such a bad week. Oh my gosh. That
But
was.
I could have scored. I definitely could have scored at least 100 points if I had put in my full power. You know, I was trying to be nice.
You know what? It's actually kind of nice, this weekly report. It tells you what your maximum was. You want to know what your max was?
130.
126. So not far. So
I was in the right way.
at your max, you would have beaten me this week if you had played me.
See, so my
No,
team. You see, what I'm
not at
trying to
my
say is,
max, but at
oh,
what I
never
actually
mind.
scored.
Let me close my mouth.
If we were talking about what I actually scored, which was 123 points, so my max was 148.
I'm not too far with you. I'm just four elite receivers away from you. That's it.
Oh God. All right. We need to keep moving here. I think I said it, but just in case I didn't, kicker Blake Groupie versus Chicago is your kicker. My kicker, or yeah, you know what? I'm gonna start with my kicker, Jason Myers versus Baltimore, since my team is led by my kicker every week.
You're a horrible
Defense, Washington versus New England. Tight end, Cade Otton versus Houston. Wide receiver, Rashee Rice versus Miami. I really like that pick. Running back, Miles Sanders versus Indianapolis. This is just a vote of confidence for the guy. Quarterback, Sam Howell versus New England. I feel like that might
You
be.
love Sam Howell.
I do. I do. And of course, you played him in the 1 week that he actually like went off. So that was rude. That's not true. He's actually had a good season. He's actually the top 12 quarterback we talked about. So that being said, he's kind of a streaming option. He really isn't somebody that you lock into your lineup. So, all right, let's get to our last segment. Finish them off. Finish things off here. Hot trades. We're doing it again because it was so much fun last week. I had to actually set some up that we could talk about. So let's get to it. I'm not saying these are, for the record, I'm not saying these are even. They're just in the range of possibilities, right? So side one, Christian McCaffrey. Side two, Devon Achane and Justin Jefferson. What are you taking? And wait,
Oh, I'm taking side two.
what do you need to even it out? So you said you're taking side two with Devon Achane and Justin Jefferson. You're trading
So
Christian
are you saying
McCaffrey.
you're gonna trade me, I have Christian McCaffrey, and you're gonna give me Achane and Jefferson?
Correct.
Oh yeah, we'll take that.
Okay. So in FYI, both Devon Achane and Justin Jefferson are on IR right now. So basically, I'm in win now mode. I need Christian McCaffrey right now. Devon Achane and Justin Jefferson aren't helping me. So I'm trading them to you. So this is actually a fair trade, I'd say, in a dynasty league right now, between a
Yeah, I mean, I'm
win
trash,
now team.
so I'll give up Christian, and you help me build my future.
Right, exactly. I think in Dynasty overall, Devon Achane and Justin Jefferson have the higher value as a couple there, over Christian McCaffrey. I think you could, if you really wanted to make it super even, I think you could add a second round pick, maybe a third. I don't know, something in that range. It's not too much of a difference. So, all right, trade two. Side one, Patrick Mahomes, Breece Hall. Again, this is more hot. These trades are more hot than last week, I think, now that I've set them up. So again, side one, Patrick Mahomes, Breece Hall. Side two, Trevor Lawrence, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Which side are you taking?
Dang, good one. That is a good one. I have to. I can't give up Patrick Mahomes and Breece Hall. I can't do it.
Yeah, I think we're a little weak on side two. I think Patrick Mahomes and Breece Hall is the right call. Amon-Ra St. Brown, as good as he is, I don't know that him compared to Breece Hall at their respective positions, I think they're moving to equality, right? And I think they've got a similar longevity that you can expect. I mean, obviously you expect more out of a wide receiver, but we kind of talk in those 3 year windows, and in that window, they're about the same. Breece Hall might be moving on and on the third year, but you still get 2 good years out of both of these guys. So I would say take the edge at Patrick Mahomes over Trevor Lawrence here. But what would I need to even this out? Not much. I would say probably a couple seconds. What do you think? Maybe a back of the first round pick?
A late first.
Late first?
A late first could help. I guess my thing is like I just trust Patrick too much. Like if this dude can get me 25 points, like oh my God, right? That helps out a lot. I know he's been in like a bit of a rough patch, but still, it just him with Andy Reid as a tandem, like that's just gonna be hard to beat. Gonna be hard to beat.
I will say, I think if you handed me a first rounder with Trevor Lawrence, Amon-Ra St. Brown for Breece Hall and Patrick Mahomes, assuming I'm more needy at the running, or sorry, I'm more needy at the wide receiver position, which is kind of why I'd even come to the table for this. If you put a first next to Trevor Lawrence and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think I'd run to the accept button.
Okay, yeah, I can see that too, especially this year with Marvin Harrison coming out. I probably do that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, again, a first, even a late first, I would be okay, because even at this point in the season, a late first could jump into a mid first, depending on where things fall.
And then I can flip that to a first, potentially.
Maybe, depending on what you give up. All right, looking at trade three, side one, Mike Evans and Davante Adams versus side two, DeAndre Swift and Isaiah Pacheco. So we've obviously got side one with two older wide receivers, side one with two older wide receivers, side two with two younger running backs, but they're still old enough to have some concerns about too much longevity. Draft capital kind of not there anymore with Swift. Pacheco never had it. So you're worried about side two's longevity. You're worried about side one's longevity. Where are you falling on this? I mean, assuming you need wide receivers if you're going with side one, and assuming you need running backs with side two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's just not enough value for me to give up those receivers. So I would say no to that trade. If you throw in a first, I think I could do it. Assuming I have an abundance of receivers already, then sure. But a first would help me because it'll help me replace them in some capacity. Even if it's just to replace one of them, I'll take it.
Okay.
But
I'm
it'd just be hard.
So for me, I'm good taking Swift and Pacheco. DeAndre Swift right now is the RB6 and Pacheco is the RB9, whereas neither of the wide receivers are in the top 12 at their position. Mike Evans is the closest at wide receiver 13. So for me, also in Dynasty with the longevity, probably more longevity on the side of the running backs, though it's close there. We're already seeing some cracks with Davante Adams. I don't really love the quarterback position with Mike Evans or trust him beyond this year. I'm definitely on side two with the running backs. I'm also kind of more of a running back guy just because they're more stable. I'd rather have a stable running back position than a stable wide receiver position, even though the wide receivers drive me nuts. Yeah. It's kind of where I'm at. All
I'm
right.
more of a wide receiver guy.
Yeah, I get that. I get. So here's the thing. I would rather set it and forget it, wide receivers for sure. But I think running backs, I have to always stock up on because you just blow through them so quickly. Like all of a sudden you lose, like in 1 week you lose three running backs and you're like, oh crap, where'd they go? They used to be so good, I thought. So I always needed, I know, I think I need depth at running back and I need quality at wide receiver. And I don't know that Mike Evans and Davante
Receiver. That
Adams
makes sense.
give me the quality that I want at this point in their careers.
That
All
makes
right.
sense.
Trade four, side one, Mark Andrews, Drake London for Cole Kmet and Jalen Waddle.
I'll take Cole Kmet and Jalen Waddle.
I
I
don't
don't know why.
hate I don't hate the idea. I do think I disagree. I think I'm going side one. I think Mark Andrews is far and away. I think the distance between Mark Andrews and Cole Kmet is far more than the distance between Jalen Waddle and Drake London. Just in terms of, I don't know. It's a hard claim to make because I think Cole Kmet and Mark Andrews are about six positions away, and Jalen Waddle and Drake London are 12 positions away. And that's probably the equivalent at their respective positions. So it's probably about equal. I like Jake. I think Jalen Waddle is underperforming this year, but overall, I like him. He just needs to get out from under Tyreek Hill a little bit. Drake London is alone, but they just aren't feeding him with the ball. So I think next year we maybe see it. A better Drake London and a real launch pad for him next year. And I just think I don't think Cole Kmet becomes Mark Andrews. I think that's the limiting factor here. Whereas I think Drake London can become Jalen Waddle.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. I can see that. I can see where your argument is coming from.
All right.
I just, okay.
Yeah, no, what's up?
I just see Jalen Waddle as like the natural successor for Tyreek. I know Tyreek said he doesn't want to play for too much longer. And then I see Cole Kmet as a safety blanket, like somebody who they can just dump the ball to, let him get some yards and keep moving. So he's almost like he's a running back himself in a way. So that's how I was seeing it. And so I was looking more like the volume and the opportunity more than anything.
Yeah, I would agree if it has been there, but it really hasn't for Cole Kmet. We
True.
haven't seen him really be an elite tight end, despite him being at tight end seven right now. But that's really kind of the nature of the position. If you're not in the top four, you're really not elite. So you're kind of just a guy, you know, a perennial hopeful. And this is coming from somebody. This year, I'm starting Cole Kmet every week but that's not a brag by any means, right? I'm disappointed more than I'm not.
Well, the interesting part is, as I was listening to the analysis on the Bears, they were speaking more about how the Bears are trying to get Justin Fields to dump the ball more. Mm-hmm. Like they like the Cole Kmet look, but they don't like. But Justin will try to, you know, take a bit of a risk. They don't like that, and so they were saying pretty much they want him to play a little bit safer sometimes and just dump the ball more to protect the ball. And so that's what I'm thinking to myself. Okay, if that's the truth, and if that's what they're going to be working on, then Cole Kmet's going to be very, very viable, because he's the garbage dumpster they're going to put everything into.
Yeah. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's how things go.
Let me know when he starts cooking for you, and then you start saying, "Man, Chip, you were right.
You were right again." I feel like I need to like get on a soapbox now, because I feel like I've been in Cole Kmet's corner since I drafted him in our league, probably 4 years ago. That's, I mean, we're probably coming up to the end of his rookie contract, which is actually kind of concerning too.
Have patience, your Padawan.
Yeah, this is his fourth year. So I drafted him 4 years ago. So yeah, I don't know. I think I need to make very clear that I am a Cole Kmet guy. I'm also a Jalen Waddle guy in some leagues, you know. I think where I felt good about my decisions this year with Jalen Waddle and Devonta Adams, or sorry, not Devonta Adams, Devonta Smith, is the two of them are the second fiddles on their team. And my argument coming out of last year was not that they weren't elite talents, not that they weren't awesome, not that they weren't going to be good for fantasy, but that their ceilings were limited because they had better players in front of them. And right now, at this point in the season, we've seen the two guys in front of them be elite fantasy options, and the two of them be almost outside of the top 24. So that's the problem that I have with Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith. Is not that they're like, they are totally going to snap back and do really well at the end of the year and kind of put themselves back into the almost top 12, probably more like top 18 mix. And I have full confidence that they'll do that. My issue is that the stretches where they kind of disappear a little bit, again, they've done stuff so far, they've been useful, but, heck, Devonta Smith is my number one wide receiver in one of my leagues, but it hasn't been fun. The only reason I'm surviving is because I have Christian McCaffrey there.
What's Devonta Smith's rank right now?
Devonta Smith is dun, 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 dun. He is number 20, and Jalen Waddle is 28.
Oh, I was gonna say, it's something about, I'll be honest with you. These Alabama wide receivers, man, they're not performing in the NFL the way we thought they would.
Well, that's because Ohio is, you know, the best place to raise wide receivers.
It's true. Wide receiver university. they birthed them things over there. Like Chris Olave. what's
it called? Wait. Ready? Let's do it. All right, Chris Olave, what rank do you think he is?
17.
He's 29, right behind Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
All right, name me another one.
But he has a trash quarterback, though, so I ain't gonna tell him on that.
Uh-huh.
Next.
What, Terry McLaurin, right?
Terry McLaurin, yeah.
24, okay.
Okay. What's his name? On the Jets.
Oh, no. I have to scroll down for him. Garrett Wilson, 32.
Hey, can you blame him?
No.
Okay, thank you. Keep going.
Is Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, Curtis Samuel.
41.
Can you blame him?
Yes, actually.
No.
He was with the same type of quarterback last year. He was 34. So that's fine. He's kind of in that same range. I feel like we're definitely, oh, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's not
Yeah.
fair. 60.
Yeah, he's getting up there though.
So who's the best guy that's coming out of Ohio?
This year?
No. Like currently in the NFL, like in terms of who's done the
It's supposed to
best.
be Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, but
But you know.
do we have a top guy? I mean, like I don't actually know, like some of those old, who's an older guy, older wide receiver that's still in the league
Oh, from oh, nobody. I don't know anybody.
from Ohio? Nobody.
No, nobody.
Man, that's sad. That's really sad. They're not doing well this year. So
No.
what we determined is, other than Terry McLaurin, both of the Alabama guys are doing better than the Ohio State guys. All of them, except for Terry McLaurin, who's still worse than Devonta Smith.
Jamison Williamson. Jamison Williams.
Dude, don't even make me look for him. He's got to be like in the hundreds.
All right, so shut up. I know, but I know he was suspended for 6 games, so I'm not gonna kill him on
It's
it.
not fair. It's not fair. All
Yeah,
right. All right. I want to make a public service announcement. I am not a Alabama fan. Just to be clear, because it sounded like it for a second. I'm actually a guy that hasn't chosen stripes. I think if anything, there's four. I've got four teams for you from college football that I would root for. Are you ready? All
go.
D1, okay. So number one, UB.
Okay, I respect it.
Kind of a hometown team. Number two, Syracuse. Again, kind of a hometown team. Number three, Lamar University. I got family that works there. And then number four, Clemson, because I just like the tiger, the whole tiger theme.
Okay.
I feel like the significant other that chooses a team has no interest in football whatsoever and chooses a team based total solely on the symbol of the team. I like the color orange. And tigers are
It.
cool.
I like it. Okay. I respect every pick you have. I respect it.
Appreciate
I know
right.
somebody who played at Syracuse, actually. He was tight end.
There you go. I will say there is one person from my college in the NFL. So I'm just saying,
Who?
tight end you.
Who?
All right, he. Oh my gosh, I gotta always remind myself. It's a little embarrassing that I say that and I don't have his name ready. I think he was on Jacksonville, so I'm gonna look there first. No, he used to be on Carolina. Actually, I saw him sign with Buffalo at one point, I thought. Nope, Chris Manhertz, that's his name. There we go. I'm gonna search for him. Just took me a second for it to come to me.
Is he still there?
He is on Denver. He is. So they agreed to a contract with him. Dude, my dude's a millionaire. Holy crap. He signed a 2-year, $6 million deal that includes 3.34 million guaranteed. I played soccer against this guy in intramurals.
He has a better life than you.
Guess who won the soccer game?
You did.
No, he was so much better. They whooped our butts because it was all the athletes against me and my friends.
Oh, that makes sense. They cheated.
It was not fair.
They were there for their warm-up routines.
Exactly. For me, it was my one exercise of the week. I'll be honest, of the month. All right, we should close this thing out. It's been fun, but I gotta eat some apple crisp here.
Apple crisp, what's that?
What is it?
Yeah.
Oh man, you gotta get out more. No, apple crisp is it's basically like an apple pie, okay, but you take the crust and you crumble it on top. How's that sound? Usually apple crisp also has like oatmeal in the crumble, but it's basically apples in like a cinnamon sauce, like a cinnamon syrupy sauce, and then you put like crumble on top, and then you serve it usually with ice cream.
Interesting. Okay.
It's delicious. And this, I lied a little bit. I forget the name of it. It's a little bit different than like a traditional apple crisp. This one has biscuits on top. So, and I made it from scratch yesterday. So it is yummy.
Let's see. I'm like, that's not familiar. But I see Alex is a baker too. Okay. What can he do?
I bake, I cook. You know, I can clean sometimes too. I can also chop wood outside. I, you know, I play soccer on the weekend sometimes. There's some things. I've got skills and stuff.
He can fix up things in the house?
Sometimes. Sometimes I pay someone to do that. Other Ooh, times I do it.
He knows how to swipe a card.
Yeah. Yeah, I swipe cards real good. Swipe cards, I should say. I recently learned that my town is the like central for one of the car stealing rings in the Northeast. So we're the hub.
Apparently. That's why I had to get out of there. That's why I moved, because y'all crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're calling them the Kia boys. They keep stealing Kias, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Yes, yes. That's quite sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
they'd be shocked if they tried to steal my car.
Yeah. What? Oh, God. Definitely, you know, the kids these days, you know, it's like just kids ain't what they used to be, you know? You just, I don't know.
Who's raising them?
What are we doing with these kids? Poor things. Thank you everyone for joining us. Next week we're talking week 9 and week 10. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
That's our weekly podcast, y'all. Don't forget, choose love. Oh, choose happiness and spread love.
Give them help.